Well, amen. I hadn't heard that song in a long time. We used to sing that down Dixie. Yes, indeed. You sing that in Georgia, too? Yeah? Okay. All right, turn in your Bibles again to Acts chapter 2 tonight. Acts chapter 2, and let's begin reading once again in verse 37. Read down to the end of the chapter, just to familiarize yourself with the passage of Scripture. Verse 37, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they, notice the transition, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. And Lord, as we take a little different look at it tonight, I pray that you will bless it. And Father, thank you for what you've taught my heart through studying this and preparing these messages. And Lord, I pray that we'll all be edified, that we'll all get a better understanding of what the church is all about, what Christianity is all about, what being saved is all about. And Lord, there's so much confusion, and the devil has done his very best to muddy the water at the source. And so, Lord, give us understanding. Help us to see clearly what it means to be a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Help us to understand what this matter of the church is all about. And, Lord, as we look at these verses tonight, challenge our hearts. And, Lord, stir our hearts to greater heights of service for you. And Lord, we thank you for the good report yesterday of our teenagers going out, knocking on doors. Lord, what a blessing to sit here and listen to the testimony. And Lord, to hear of adults that have a burden for different people. And Lord, for how you work and how you use our people to win souls. And Lord, help us to stay at it. Help us to see tonight that this is what it's all about. And Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. And amen. All right, I want to review just for a few minutes. And really, you may not even realize I'm reviewing. But I've been preaching out of the book of Acts for the last couple of Sundays. And we're looking basically at the subject of what is Christianity. The book of Acts is the history book of the New Testament. It is the book that gives you all the history of the beginning of the church of Jesus Christ. And what is the Christian church? What's it all about? What does it mean to be a Christian? And as I've stated several times in these messages, I believe that the greatest need the world has today is to accept and believe the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, I mean this. I'm not just saying this because I'm a pastor, or because I'm a preacher. I believe this with every fiber of my being. The hope of the world is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not in Islam. It's not in humanism. It's not in liberalism. Christianity is the only message that holds any hope for the world. And I don't feel that that's an exaggeration. I believe that that these are the clear facts. As you watch the news every day and you see what is happening around our world, it is clear and it is just obvious to anybody that has any sense at all. This world in which we live is a mess. The world is in desperate trouble. I mean, you watch the news and you see people all over the world killing others in the name of their religion. Now, does that make any sense at all? Killing somebody in the name of your religion? That just does not compute in my mind. People all over the world, though, are killing others in the name of their religion. Conflicts and war and suicide missions and death squads and destruction, and all in the name of some god that somebody dreamed up. And that's all Islam is a dreamed up religion. You get the Quran and read it, folks. Get the Quran and read it. And you'll see that it's all just fabricated stuff. It is patterned after the Bible. They pull a passage out here, pull a passage out there. But instead of it being biblical characters like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and going through the Jews, it's Abraham and Esau and going through the Arabs. And you read the Bible, the promises are to the people of God, not to the Arabs. But the message of Christianity is a message of hope. It's a message of peace. It's a message of gladness. It's a message of unity. Christianity, real Bible type Christianity, is not religion. Now, folks, get this point. I hammered this to you last week, and I'm going to hit it again tonight. I want you to understand this. Christianity, and I'm talking about real, true Bible Christianity, is not religion. The shame is, and the sad thing is, that the world practices a religion that they call Christianity. But it's not. It's religion. True Bible, real New Testament, the book of Acts, Christianity is not religion. I showed you last Sunday night that the world that we live in, and when I speak of the world tonight, I'm speaking of the United States of America. America doesn't mind religion. America doesn't care about religion. You can be religious. It's okay. But they do mind Jesus. They don't care if you're religious. America wants religion, and they don't even mind calling it Christian, but the world doesn't want Jesus. In America, you can pray. Just they don't want you praying in Jesus' name. I mean, you know, you can go to church, but, you know, don't get fanatical about it. You can go to church, but those fundamental right-wing, bigoted, narrow-minded, Bible-thumping, judgment-shouting, think they're the only ones going to heaven, cultic, fundamental churches, you better stay away from those. That's the way the world looks at it. You know, what's right has become wrong, and what's wrong has become right. And that's where we are in America today. Now, the authoritative statement concerning the church is found right here in the book of Acts. And that's what I'm trying to bring to your attention. The authoritative statement concerning the church. I'm not talking about the man's perception of religion in America. I'm talking about the authoritative statement on the church is found in the Bible. Now, if you just happen to slip in here tonight, I want to serve notice on you. I believe that the Bible is the authoritative Word of God from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 without apology. Amen. I believe that. And I believe the book of Acts is the authoritative statement on the church, not what El Papa has to say. Not what the Southern Baptist Convention has to say. Or what the United Methodists have to say. I believe the Bible is the final authority. Now, what is a Christian? What is the church? Here in these chapters that we've been studying, and specifically here in our text tonight, we find the first account of the Christian church gathering in the name of the Lord. In verse 47, we are told, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now, I personally believe that Jesus started the church back when he was with the disciples. I personally believe that I don't think the church started right here. It says the Lord added unto. So it had to already be in existence in order for him to add unto it. Nod your heads. Okay? So here the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We're told in verse 41, when Peter preached, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So I submit to you that here is the authoritative description of what a Christian is and of what it means to be a Christian. And I think if you look at this tonight, you'll see that what is called Christianity in America today, there's very little Christianity, but a whole lot of religion. Now, let me answer the question, what it means to be a Christian. First of all tonight, let me answer it in the negative. In order to answer the question, what it means to be a Christian, let me first answer in the negative. I'll get to the positive for those of you that say, well, you did negative. Well, I'll get to the positive, but let me straighten out some things first. Would you please? The world has its own understanding and ideal. So I think that I must first attempt to straighten out what is not in the Bible. What is not in the Bible? Now, I mentioned this to you this morning, and that there's a lot of people in the world that think Christianity or being a Christian is just something someone takes up. You know, it's almost, the mentality is almost like, well, you know, I tried this, and I didn't find what I was looking for, and I tried that, and we try all kinds of things in order to fill the void that is in our souls, the emptiness that life throws our way. So we rationalize and we reason and we say, well, you know, what's the harm in taking up Christianity? I'll just try the church. I'll just give the church a shot. Now, how do people do this? Well, I think some people think that Christianity operates solely in the realm of the intellect. Now, let me explain to you what I mean. I'm not going to linger here. I've beat that drum many, many times in the past. But, you know, there's a lot of people that are just stricken with the different schools of theology. You know, they get all wrapped up in the learning aspect of the Bible. And the Bible, it's a fascinating book. It's an absolute fascinating book. And there are a lot of people that have never read the Bible, so they think, well, I'll just take up Christianity. And so they start reading after it. It'd be real nice if they read the Bible instead of books written about the Bible. I mean, you know, they go down to your average Christian bookstore that 9 times out of 10 is in business to do one thing, and that's make money. And so they buy stuff that just, you know, it's like Paul said, that they're more interested in chasing genealogy and in endless fables than they are the truth. And they want to argue Calvinism. They know all about Calvinism, don't know anything about Paul, but they know all about Calvinism. They know all about the tulip. You know, they can give you a rundown on Calvin's tulip. They know all about, on the other side, Arminianism. And they can take you to every passage of Scripture that is in the Bible where they isolate that passage of Scripture and don't compare Scripture to Scripture. And they will pull that thing out of context and hold it up and say, see, you can lose your salvation. And they'll argue till they're blue in the face with you that you can lose your salvation. Or they'll get all wrapped up in prophecy and they'll ask you, well, now, which school of prophecy do you follow? You know, are you premillennial or are you postmillennial? And they'll have all the theology books on all the different millenniums and all the different interpretations of when Jesus is coming back. And there's the pre-trib and the mid-trib and the post-trib and then the premillennials and the postmillennialists and then the amillennialists and all the rest of the millennialists. And they sit and argue and get all wrapped up in the intellectual side. And you know there's no brokenness for sin. I read right here where these old boys repented. There's no brokenness for sin. There's no repentance. There's no change of heart. Just intellectual pursuit. Then there are some that think Christianity, they say, well, I'm just going to take up Christianity. And they think that Christianity operates solely on the realm of the emotions, of feelings. You know, everybody wants to feel something today. You ever notice that? I mean, they get President Bush on TV for a press conference, and the first question out of some liberal's mouth is, well, how do you feel about so-and-so? It's not how you feel about things, folks. It's what things are. When you're the president of the free world, who cares what you feel? I mean, just make a decision based on truth. And principle. And I've admired President Bush for not yielding and not stepping into that trap. You know this. Turn on Oprah any day of the week. And it's all about feelings. We just care about feelings. How do you feel? Well, now, how did that make you feel? Well, let me ask you, how do you feel? And everything revolves around the emotion. And folks, there's a whole element of society that has taken up Christianity because it makes them feel good. They don't know anything about truth. They don't know anything about truth because, folks, if you get in your Bible, you're going to find out that it's the truth that sets you free, not how you feel. And I have had discussions with some of these emotionalists, and I have had more than a half a dozen. I was trying to think this afternoon. More than I can remember through the years that have looked at me and have literally said to me, well, I don't care what the Bible says. I know what I felt. And I've never done it, but one of these days I'm going to snap and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to say, well, you better care what the Bible says, because the Bible is what is going to be opened when you stand before God and give an account of yourself to God. You're not going to be judged on how you feel. Then there's a third group that view Christianity entirely in the realm of the will. In other words, the way they see it, it's what you do that determines if you're a Christian. And by that I mean, you know, if you go to church, you don't have to go regularly, just go. You know, a couple times a year is all right. But give to the church now. You see, as long as you give, you don't have to go. That's kind of the mentality. Make some sacrifices every now and then. I mean, you know, volunteer for something. Help out your fellow man. Try to be a good person. And if you do those things, well, then, hey, you must be a Christian. The important thing, though, is your will and your desire and what you are actually doing. And there's a lot of folks that view Christianity in that light. They're one or the other of the three. Now, that's the negative. Now, let me give you the positive. I want you to, in order to get to positive, folks, we're going to look at the Bible. Okay? Look at verse 46. Here's the answer in the positive. We're answering the question, what it means to be a Christian. I've entitled my sermon tonight, Going All Out for God. And I want you to notice verse 46. He said, and they, who's the they? It's at 3,000 plus. All right. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Folks, having just looked at religion, the negative that I just gave you, and the various aspects of religion that clothes itself and cloaks itself in a garment that they call Christianity, I think you will see a great contrast when you look at the Bible and you see some words here in the Bible that all of us understand. Look at your Bible. They. I like that word. They. Look at, just keep looking at your verses there. Continued. Man, I like that word. They continued daily. Nine times in the book of Acts, you will read the word daily. Nine times. This wasn't something that they just did hit and miss when it was convenient, when they didn't have anything else to do. It was something that they did every day. They lived for God every day. One accord, temple, gladness, singleness, praising. Folks, that is biblical Christianity. That's the answer that the world is looking for. Now, remember that Christianity is something that happens to us by the working of the Holy Spirit. I taught you that this morning. It's not something that I do. It's not something these guys do. It's not something this building does. But you getting saved is something the Holy Spirit does in your heart. Salvation is of the Lord, Jonah 2:9. In 1 Peter 1:9, Peter said that God hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And we have learned this morning this call of God comes to us through the Word of God as it is applied by the Holy Spirit of God. And this concept is so different from men's approaches to God through religion. When I was 9 years old, we had a family in our community that went to a Presbyterian church. And they were having Bible school at the Presbyterian church. And my neighbor, kid was a friend of ours. And he said, if you guys will go to Bible school with us, then, if I get so many kids there, I get a prize. I don't even remember what it was. So we all said, okay, we'll go with you. So we loaded up and we went to the church. And we went in and they did what all Bible schools do. They registered you when you went in. And I filled out the visitor's card, and I turned it into the teacher. And about 2 weeks later, I got a letter with a box of tithing envelopes. I'm 9 years old. My mother said, there's mail there for you. I said, for me? She said, yes. I said, what is it? She said, I don't know. It's got your name on it. You open it up and read it. And it was a little manila envelope. And I thought somebody sent me a toy, you know. I'm 9 years old. I'm excited. I ripped that thing open. It was a pink box of tithing envelopes. Real nice letter said, welcome to the membership of our church. My mother said, give me that letter. Oh, son, she ripped that thing out of my hands. She got on the telephone and she called up there and she said, why did you send this? Well, he came to our church last week. Well, yes, he did, as a guest for Bible school. And you made him a member of the church. My mother said, you're not after anything but money. That's all you're after. Folks, I want to serve notice on you that when you get into the book of Acts, there is no mention here of the money. The mention is of repentance. The mention is the preaching of the gospel. The mention is the lifting up of Jesus. And 3,000 people got saved. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. And this concept is so different from man's approaches to God through religion. Listen, folks, here, I don't know how else to say it. Let me just say it. Just say it this way. Christianity is God doing something. Notice carefully. The Lord added. Christianity is so different from dead religion in that God is working in Christianity and He's not working in religion. Christianity is not some mechanical, dead, dull, dreary routine, but is charged with the power of God, with life and with energy. So the new Christian knows that it's an internal change brought about by something other than himself. Amen. Now, what is this change? Well, if you look at verse 47, you'll see it. It's the last word. That's the catalyst right there. The last word in verse 47. Verse 47 says, these people were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be, what?
Saved.
I like that word. That's a good Bible word. But you know, a lot of people don't like to use that word today. They don't like to use that word. I like that word. I think that's a Bible word. What made the change in these people? What was it that made the change? It's simple. They got saved. What's it mean? Well, I've already said that Christianity is different from religion in that once the Spirit of God convicts and we have a change of mind concerning Jesus, that change changes every part of us. And in the book of Acts, when people got saved and became Christian, every aspect of them changed. I mean, a religious person doesn't know anything about being saved. You know it? He knows about religion. He knows about going to church, but he doesn't know anything about being saved. That's why you can ask a religionist, are you saved? Well, I think so. Well, I go to church. No, I didn't ask you if you go to church. I asked you, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? But I go to church every Sunday. No, I didn't ask you that. I asked you, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Well, I can't say that I know that for sure. And those of you that have been involved in soul winning, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They know religion. That's one reason why we ask the question that we ask. And we teach you to ask that question. If you died today, if something were to happen to you and God were to take your life, do you know, operative word, for sure that you'd go to heaven? Oh, well, I think I would. Oh, well, I hope I would. Oh, well, you know, I go to church a couple of times a year. Well, now, I'm a good person. And all those answers are nothing more than regurgitation of religion. And there's a difference between religion and Christianity. True Bible Christianity is not a hope-so, it's a know-so. These things write we unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life. World of difference between hoping and knowing. And as I said in one of the services this morning, I didn't say it in both, but I said it in one of the services, and I'll say it again. You look, everybody look at me. I want to serve notice on you. You are looking at a guy that knows beyond a shadow of doubt that he's going to heaven. Amen. Not because of who I am or what I am, but because of who he is and what he has done for me. Amen. A religious person doesn't know anything about being saved. He knows about religion. He knows about being religious, but he knows nothing about being saved. You can ask a religionist, well, are you saved? They'll say, well, you know, I read the Bible and I know some theology. Or they'll say, well, you know, I've done this or I've done that. Or I go to this church and I love my fellow man and I'm a good person. And you can ask anybody, they'll tell you that I am. But folks, salvation is so different from religion. Religion is you exercising your intellect or your heart or your will to do something connected to God or connected to the Bible or connected to a church. But Christianity is God changing you from the inside out.
Amen.
And look at verse 46 at the effect it's had on the people. Look at verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. You say, why did they go to the temple? That was their understanding of where God was. They went there because that's where you went to be near God. Of course, he wasn't there. Veil had been ripped, remember? But they went to the temple. Another reason why they went there, because that's where the people were. I mean, that's where people were. They came to pray at the temple. And that's where they were when they were preaching. Verse 46, look at the effect. My goodness, it changed these people. Why did they change? They got saved. That's why they changed. You say, Pastor, I think you're being unfair. I think you're exaggerating the matter. Do you think? I don't think I am. Let me illustrate. Folks, we live in a religious world. The whole world is religious. Some are Buddhist and some are Muslim and some are humanist and some are atheist and some are Catholic and some simply worship spirits they don't even know the name of or can't identify. But look at the religionists. Folks, listen, this is going to make some of you mad, but look at me. Listen, the religionists are just like everybody else in the world. It's the Christians that are different. You just chew on that a while. Just think about that a while. You know, that's true, isn't it? The religionists, they're exactly the same as everybody else. Oh, they do this odd thing once in a while called go to church. Might be Easter or Christmas, or it might be for a christening, or it might be for a baptism. But their faith is not at the center of their lives. It's an addition to their lives. It's not something that produces anything akin to what we're reading here in verse 46. But you know, something strange happened to you folks, didn't it? Huh? I mean, you got saved and all of a sudden something strange happened to you. And now you find yourself just like these people, continuing daily with one accord in the house of God, breaking bread, eating your meat with gladness and singleness of heart and praising God. Hey, you folks are nuts. What's wrong with you? You bunch of nuts. But you see, the false idea of religion is always just an attachment. It's always just an attachment. But with these people, it was something entirely different. These people who had just 50 days earlier stood and cried, "Crucify him," now stand with the apostles and say, "We don't want to go home, preach again." Once they got saved, they were completely changed, completely different people. And folks, here is the difference. This was not an outward change, it was an inward change. And when you have an inward change, it affects the outward change and makes the outward change. A radical and profound change that happens to a person who is changed by the inner working of the Spirit of God that makes them a new person in Jesus Christ. They continued steadfastly and they would not leave. Man, I like that. They were risking life and limb to hang around these disciples, but they didn't care. Because now, with what had taken place and what had happened in their hearts, they were forever identified with the disciples, and they believed in the same person as Lord and Christ, verse 36. They believed that in the same person as the disciples believed in. And dear friends, that is New Testament Christianity. And let me say lastly that this is the kind of Christianity that is lacking today. Oh, how we need to get back to biblical New Testament Christianity. Religion sees an impact upon the mind or upon the emotions or upon the will. And it focuses itself in these areas. I think Christianity impacts all aspects, the mind, the will, and the emotions. Not just one or the other. I believe it impacts every fiber of your being. Amen. The mind is changed. I mean, when a person gets saved, he changed into a new creature in Christ, and the entire person is changed by that. Your mind is changed. Why do you think we teach you to ask a person, if you were to die right now, do you know for sure? We want their mind changed. We want them to believe what the Bible says and to know that they're saved. Remember, I said to you this morning, there was a time when you were not saved, and then when after you got saved, there was something happened that caused that change within. And it's amazing, but the Lord Jesus is the only one that can make that change. You'll look, please, at verse 41. It says, then they that gladly received his word. That's when the change takes place, when you start believing. Believing. Not only is your mind changed, but your emotions are changed. Notice verse 41, they gladly received the word. Notice verse 47, they ate their food, their meat with gladness. That's true happiness, folks. The happiness the world offers is temporary at best. And most of the world's happiness also has repercussions. It has side effects, or it has after effects. You know, you go out and party and have a big hootin' time, but then you wake up next morning, your head's flowing out to here. You know, you wake up and scratch your head way out here. Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it? Huh? Yeah, your head's so swollen up, you feel like your head's going to explode. But you had fun. No, you're miserable. But the joy of the Lord, the happiness that comes from being in the will of God. There's no drug, there's no liquor in this world that can feel any better or taste any better than to have peace with God. Amen. Have the Holy Spirit identify with your spirit that you're a child of God. And then the will is also involved. And that changes when you get saved. Look at them. They got saved. What'd they do? They joined the church. Well, I got hurt. Oh, get over it. Who cares? Get busy doing something for God. My goodness. You're going to get hurt again before you die. Look what they did. They joined up. They said, man, I want to get in on this. And they were added to the church. Church! Guy asked me a couple weeks ago. He said, I drove by your church on a Sunday night. He said, man, there are cars everywhere out there. I said, yeah, we just believe in having church. But we don't have Sunday night service anymore. I said, we do. Do people come? I said, well, you saw all the cars out there. Not as many as I think ought to come. Now, you're here. I'm not fussing at you, but you call them ones that aren't here and tell them I said that, would you please? They chose to join the church. Wasn't forced upon them. They chose to join. They wanted to be a part. Man, I want in on this. I got a text message today from a pastor down in Texas, and he said, thanks for sending so-and-so to our church. We had a family here, and they moved to Texas, and she came to me a couple months ago, and I'd forgotten about it till just when I was looked down here to see where they normally sat, and I thought, I remembered. I said, oh, yeah, I remember telling her about that church. He texted me, said, thanks for sending so-and-so to our church. They joined this morning. Amen. And if I lived in his town, I'd join his church. But if I lived in this area, I'd join this church. If I wasn't a member, I'd join tonight. I would. I like it here. Preacher ain't much, but boy, I tell you, fellowship's great. Singing's good. Youth pastor's nuts. Anybody go out till 12:30 in the morning just to eat cheesecake? Something wrong. Something wrong. You can stop at Super Fresh and get cheesecake on the way home. Amen. Be in bed by 11:15. They chose to be baptized. They chose to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and faith. They chose this stuff. So notice the entire person is involved. The entire person. And folks, that is New Testament Christianity. It means that we've been separated from this present evil world and separated into and unto the kingdom of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. That's New Testament Christianity. And so much of this stuff that's floating around today is a disgrace to the book of Acts. May God help us to get back to the book. Let's bow for prayer. Well, our Father, I pray that You'll bless the message tonight. Lord, I pray that You'll help all of us to realize my heart tonight. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to get the truth across. Lord, trying to get folks to see the point. And in this day and age where there's so much deception and there's so much facade, Lord, help us to see that not everything that glitters is gold. Lord, we got a Bible here, and this Bible is our benchmark. So Lord, help us to focus on what the Bible says about what church is all about. And Lord, give us a burden to be sold out and on fire for You. And Lord, give us a burden to want to be a part, to want to be a part of a church that holds to the foundation. And Lord, I pray You'll keep us on the right path. And Lord, give discernment and wisdom to this good staff that You've brought here. And Lord, to the council, just give us discernment that we'll always be watching to keep things on the level. And Lord, continue to give us a burden. May we never get away from taking a teenager soul winning. May we never get away from driving the buses and picking up little boys and girls, bringing them to church to hear the gospel. Lord, may we never get away from taking door hangers and putting them on people's doors. May we never get away from the Thursday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday afternoon and Saturday morning visitations. Oh, Lord, just give us a burden for the lost. And I pray that You'll seal every truth into every heart tonight. And Lord, just draw us to Yourself. Give us a heart that's on fire. Give us a heart that just won't burn out. Just want to live for Jesus. In His name we ask it.